and continue together to learn, lead, and love. And over the past several Sundays, the past couple, we've focused in on what does it mean to learn, and that is to be in God's Word, to hear what He teaches, and to explore that Word, not only for ourselves, but in the community united around Christ. And it's important to start there because God's Word really should inform everything going forward in terms of our understanding of who we are, how we love and serve other people, and how we make our way in the world in a faithful way. And so we focus on learning here at Bethany. And we also are going to explore two other themes. And this morning we're going to start talking a little bit about lead. And lead can look like a number of things, but this morning I want you to think of yourself as a leader, even if you don't. And I want you to think about all the places you might find yourself leading. It can be here at Bethany in a very real way. You can lead something here, and there are going to be opportunities for you too. There are always opportunities. But it could also be how you lead at school or at work among your peers. It might even be how you lead at home, how you serve your spouse or a family member. We find ourselves in a lot of different places with a lot of different opportunities to lead in a way that brings glory to Christ. And so we want to look at what God's Word says about how to lead and what it means for us going forward in all the different places that we find ourselves. And so we're going to be in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 22. And so if you have a Bible or a Bible app, you can pull it open. But we're also going to have some of the words here on the screen. But I want to give you the context of Luke chapter 22. And we're going to look at a couple of verses here in a second. When the story we're about to read takes place, Jesus has gathered his disciples in the upper room for the Passover. He has prepared the Passover. He has washed their feet, and they're getting ready to eat together and remember what happened in the story of the Exodus and the people heading to the Promised Land. And as he's sitting there eating among them, of course, he reveals that one among them is going to betray him. And there's this sort of sense of something significant that is about to happen, but it doesn't feel like a good thing. And so imagine, it's like one of those awkward dinners with your family, and you don't know why someone's mad or why it feels off, and this is kind of what it's like. They're eating together, and Jesus, of course, is about to be arrested, and he's about to be tried, and he's about to be hung on a cross. And so this is their last meal together. And not everyone knows this, but there's definitely something in the air. And so as they're eating together, all of a sudden, a dispute, it says, arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. That is the disciples. Which among us is going to be the greatest? And Jesus said to him that the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. And so he is eating with them, and this is very human. Whenever there's uncertainty or anxiety in the system, when people aren't sure what's going to happen, especially if someone among them is about to betray Jesus, there's something unsettling about this. And they begin to argue in this moment because they want to know, in a way, like, who is going to be in charge? Who's the greatest? Who is doing this the best way? And what Jesus basically points out to them is he said, yes, this is how the Gentiles do it. And they're called benefactors. They lord over other people. And this is not a good thing. He's not setting this up as a good thing. And yet they want to know what's going to happen. There's a similar story in another gospel, and the words are almost identical in terms of how Jesus responds later in the text. It's in Matthew chapter 20, and the context is different. It's not the Passover meal, but a mother, who's the mother of the sons of Zebedee, two of his disciples, comes up to Jesus with her sons, kneels before him, and he asks him, of the two sons, say which ones of mine are to sit at your right hand and your left hand in your kingdom. And of course, what the mother doesn't know and what the disciples don't know is what they're actually asking for. Because they don't fully understand what does it mean to be the greatest. They don't fully understand what it means to be at the right and left of Jesus. Because of what they're thinking about in this moment The mother's thinking about her children. That's what mothers do. And the disciples are quabbling, fighting amongst themselves to figure out who's the best, who's the greatest, who's the most faithful to Jesus. And what sort of drives all of this in both situations, and what drives us many times when we get into these situations, is something that we all have, and it's something that you're familiar with. It's called ego, right? Who has ego? Yeah. People who don't raise their hand has double portion. I don't know. But we all have ego. We all want to feel important. We all want to feel valued. We all want to feel special. We like to control things. We like to set the direction and pace of things in and around our life. It's normal, right? This is a very normal thing. And yet the problem with ego is that when your ego is tripped, when you are worried about some guy being better than you, when you are afraid that your opinions don't matter, when you don't get your way, when things aren't playing out the way that you hope they were going to play out, what ends up happening is you make it about you. And so here they are, the last meal they get to have with Jesus, and they're worried about themselves. And so who's going to be the greatest among us? And Jesus says, this is how the Gentiles do it. They pick who's greater. They lord over you. They're called the benefactors because you serve them, basically. And then he says five words. But not so with you. And these five words, are just right in the middle of this, just stand out to me. But not so with you. And this is, I mean, these are hard words to hear because basically, I mean, we live in a culture that values leadership, that values people that can take control, that can set the direction, that can set the pace, and that can be up front, and that sort of create all the energy, and that's what people are drawn to. That's the kinds of people that people want to follow, and sometimes it becomes less about God and less about Christ in those moments. And Jesus is saying, this is not what I want you to do. This is how it is not supposed to be. Because if it becomes about you, if it becomes about what you want to be greater, if it becomes about how you want to see things done, and if it becomes about what you think is right or wrong, and that is what is right or wrong, then as you talk, as you wrestle, as you speak, as you fight against, as you push in towards whatever it is that you're doing, you are edging God out and making it about you and your needs instead of about what maybe Christ is trying to do. The second the mom is worried about her sons, and the second the disciples are worried about who's the greatest, they take their eyes off the main point, the mission, what Jesus is up to and what God is doing through him. It becomes about something wholly different. And so Jesus says to his disciples, he said, rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest and the leader as the one who serves. In the conversation with the mother, Jesus basically tells her she doesn't know what she's asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink? And he says, you know, the rulers and lords, Gentiles lord over them, and they exercise authority over them, and it should not be so among you. But whoever be great among you must also be your servant. And then he says, even the Son of Man came not to serve, but to be, not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. What Jesus is basically saying is that, and he models this, is that if you really want to know how to be great, if you really want to point to the truth, the reality, the main mission, the main focus, then at the end of the day, and this is what they don't understand, they don't understand what they're asking for, they're asking to die with him. When the mother asks if her sons can hang out on the left and right side of him, she doesn't know that's going to be on the cross. When the disciples are asking who's going to be the greatest among us, what does that mean? They don't understand that to be great means they're going to have to give up everything. But the reason why we're able to get here ultimately is because in and through Christ we do have everything. And so we're able to shift our focus and look at things a little bit differently. Point away from us and to Jesus. The Apostle Paul picks up on this in the book of Philippians. I love these words in Philippians chapter 2. And he sort of spells this out really well. He says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort in his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. Each of us should not only look to our own interests, but also to the interests of others. This is hard to do, because many times we all sort of function from a deficit, right? That we're not getting something. We deserve something. I wish it could be this way or that way. And yet this flips everything on the head and says, you know, really, if you're about the main thing, then you will fade into the background, because you'll want nothing more than for people to see who Christ is. See, there is no room for ego. There's no place to say, what's in it for me? And so if we get too caught up in all the things that we want, miss, need, feel, think, whatever it is, and again, culture supports this, right? You got to have it your way. But the problem is that you'll never be satisfied. And you'll be at the center when you shouldn't be. And so we have to get out of the way and keep pointing people to Jesus. Keep making it about him. And Jesus modeled this in a lot of ways. People don't always think of Jesus as a leader, commonly understood, because again, he wasn't like a corporate CEO, but he modeled how this is supposed to look like for all of us in a lot of different ways. And it really sort of informs maybe the pattern of how we're supposed to live. Like I said, not only here at Bethany, as we should seek to serve each other as greater than ourselves, but in our homes, in our workplaces, wherever it is you find yourself. And there's this book by Ken Blanchard and Phil Hodges called Lead Like Jesus. It's a pretty good book. And they point out a couple of aspects of how Jesus did things. And it really, to me, sort of captures how Jesus is a leader and all the stuff that he dealt with. And just think about this for yourself for a second. And you, if you've been in any position working with anyone, whether it's your spouse or your kids or coworkers, or you've been a boss, like, you understand this. You get this dynamic. But they said Jesus had to work and live and care for imperfect people, like my spelling. That's happened in every service, and I keep thinking it'll get corrected, but it doesn't. So that's okay, because we're not perfect, right? We're imperfect, especially me. And Jesus had to take time to train and teach and develop and delegate. He had to focus on other people. He couldn't be the center of everything, because he had to release other people to do the work. Jesus was under constant scrutiny and testing of his commitment and his integrity. People doubted him. Jesus was required to handle rejection and criticism and opposition. He was facing conflicting demands from friends and foes. I mean, we've all experienced this, right? Like, just let's talk about COVID and politics, y'all. Do we have unity there? You see what I'm saying? It's like everyone has a very strong sense of what's right. And it conflicts. Jesus was tempted by instant gratification and recognition and misuse of power. Like he was standing up on the Temple Mount and Satan said, you can have it all now if you just listen to me. He was tempted to take shortcuts and get there faster and not do the hard work that he had to do. Jesus faced serious personnel issues, including turnover and betrayal. Feels good. Jesus was required to communicate in a multicultural environment. That doesn't sound familiar, does it? Everything going on in the world, all the tensions, culture and race. Jesus needed to challenge the status quo and the hierarchy to bring about change. Jesus needed to communicate a radically new version of the future. Jesus needed to call attention to poor leadership at great risk to himself. Jesus needed to put career and relationship on the line to serve a higher purpose. Jesus had to be willing to give it all away. And he invites us into the same space. And in all sincerity, the only way that we can meet him on this is if we know and believe and have faith that we already have everything in and through him. If we know and trust in faith that when he died on the cross, he died on the cross so that we could have everything. We lack nothing in Christ. And if we know and believe and trust and understand that we lack nothing in Christ, then we can give it all away and point people to him. Because we can't lose what we have in Christ. And so Christ modeled this. He did. He modeled as he walked with the disciples and walked this earth. He showed what it meant to, out of all people, he could have claimed to be the greatest. He could have asserted himself in different ways, but he didn't. He didn't fight. He didn't attack. He let himself get arrested. And he died. In service to you, to me. And in that, we get everything. And so what does it mean then for us to be called to lead here at Bethany? It means that we have to take ourselves out of it. We have to let go of our egos. We have to understand what we're here for. Not for our own enjoyment. I mean, I hope it's pleasurable. I hope we do get enjoyment. I don't want it to be suffering and pain, but it's to point people to Jesus above and beyond our own ego and needs. And so we just keep going and we keep pushing. We keep serving. We consider others greater than ourselves. And so there's going to be lots of opportunities for us to explore this and kind of play with this idea. We'll talk more about this next Sunday. But the way this looks here is, you know, I'm not asking you to do anything great. I mean, I know, you know, some people, like in one of the services, someone came up to me and they're like, I can't do much at Bethany right now because I have a sick spouse at home. That's leading. Taking care of your spouse is serving somebody. Taking yourself out of it. Not being worried about me thinking you're not doing enough. Because it's not about that. It's about being faithful and pointing people to Jesus. And so what I'm asking you is just to think where God is leading this in your life. Like, where do you feel maybe that tug or that push? Whether it's here at Bethany, to lead something, to do something for the service of the community, the greater good, or whether it's something in your home or something at your workplace or at your school. What is it? I can't tell you exactly what it is. I just know that God does call us to lead with him. And by leading, I mean point to Jesus. And so one of the things that I've been asking y'all to do is at the end of the services, there's been cards out on tables. And maybe you've already filled one out, or maybe you haven't. Normally there's cards on the table out here, but it was full of Hurricane Ida stuff, so there's no cards out there today, but we'll have them there next week. But what I want you to think about is just, you know, are you willing to commit to learn, lead, or love? Are you willing to sort of see where God's word is leading you through all of this? And what's next? And if you're feeling something, or if you have, or you're thinking about something, or maybe something's kind of on your mind, go ahead and check a box. And you're not committing to anything specifically right now. You're just saying, I'm willing to learn, lead, and love. And then as Bethany can assist you, come alongside you and help with that, you'll get communication about ways that we can learn together, lead together, and love together. And then you'll have the opportunity, if it works, if it makes sense for you, that you can commit to that specifically. And it may not be about anything I email you. You might have something else going on, and you're free in Christ to explore that and to go for it as long as it brings Him glory. So I pray more than anything that we can be united in one for one purpose and one purpose only, and that's to bring people to Jesus. It's in His name.